It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 274. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. The Rise and Shout Podcast is a weekly show dedicated to BYU sports by myself and my brother Matt, two fans who don't live in Utah. This week, we discuss the spring game, the BYU Pro Day, and Eric Mika's decision to dip his toes into the NBA draft waters. I then chat with BYU TV's Jerem Jordan about some of those same topics. And we also discuss men's volleyball and some of the summer movies we're most looking forward to. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to me and Matt right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, we got a lot to talk about because a lot's going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Like, it's crazy.
So the most important thing we got to talk about is, of course, is there a Torchy's Tacos in Baton Rouge?
I am sad to inform you that there is not, and I've known this for quite some time.
I just haven't asked you. Well, there's not one in Minnesota either, and I've never eaten there, so I don't know how sad I'm supposed to be.
Well, the good news is I still travel to Houston, so I'll eat some Torchy's for you.
Yeah, and for yourself.
The last time I was there, I actually went to Torchy's with our brother Don.
Oh, look at that. Look at you and the Don man.
And then somebody I know on Facebook posted a picture of them at a Torchy's Tacos in Colorado.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. I was about to make some joke about you and Don and some bald convention, but I decided that would be tasteless, so I didn't make it.
Yeah, that would be out of line. That'd be like me taking a cheap shot, like saying you went to a gray hair convention.
Oh, yeah. You might have gray hair, too. We just don't know.
I actually do have gray hair.
Yeah, see? See, there you go. There you go. See how it is? All right. So Matt, we got a lot to talk about. So let's just jump in to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, two items in the hopper tonight for the Cougars in the news. Men's volleyball split with number one in the nation, Long Beach State. I unfortunately watched the match on Saturday, which was not as interesting as they got swept. We'll talk later in the show after we're done. We'll have an interview with Jerem Jordan where we talk a little bit about that. And then men's, the baseball team, Matt, got swept by Loyola Marymount. That's not the news. The news is they had a perfect game pitched against them.
Yeah, see, that's one of those statistics that you don't want, right?
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be a part of history of one of those games unless you're the pitcher or somebody fielding.
It's like the extreme version of getting posterized.
Yes, yes. You just got posterized over 2 hours straight.
Yeah.
So that's not as fun. So that's all for CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News. Just a reminder, my new podcast, Bleep the Podcast, is now available. You can find it let me make sure I'm getting this right, because last time I did this, I didn't actually do it right, and I gave people the wrong web address. So
awkward.
It's bleepthepodcast.podbean.com. You can also find the Twitter address as well at Bleep Podcast on Twitter, and you can find it there. My last episode was with James Dashner, the author of The Maze Runner. We talked about some geeky stuff. So if you, like me, like geeky stuff, then check out my podcast. The episode before that was a Pixar movie draft. And they're timeless episodes. It's not like this where we talk about timely stuff, right? So anyway, that is where we're at. Matt, let's jump right in to spring football. Are you ready for spring football?
Oh, I'm ready for some spring football.
Okay, I need you to react to this statement, okay? You give me your reaction, all right?
Okay.
Bushman will be the greatest tight end in the history of BYU football.
Yes!
What do you think? How do you feel about that?
I was pretty excited, actually, by what I saw on Saturday.
Listen, I don't want to get too much into the hype machine, but the catch he made behind himself where he reached out and got it, most of our wide receivers can't make that catch, or at least the ones that we've watched a lot. That's a tough catch, right? Very athletic thing to do in the air, reach behind yourself, adjust to the ball. I don't know. I was pretty excited about Matt Bushman.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my notes that I put down while I was watching it, and that was very early on. It was one of the very, very first things you noticed. You know, this looks like a guy who might actually be a tight end.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. If he can block, he's gonna be quite the weapon. So Matt,
he should be able to with his size.
Yeah,
but he's also bringing. I mean, clearly you talked about his hands, and he's got good speed.
Yeah, yeah. So it should. I'm pretty excited. Matt, let's jump in to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
You can interact with us on the show either via Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, or good old fashioned email, RiseAndShoutPod, one word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. Matt, Andre Hutchins via Facebook asks, BYU's D looked good on Saturday. He was impressed by linebackers and defensive backs. He says this might be the overly concerned BYU fan in me. It is, Andre. But outside of our tight ends, I wasn't too impressed with the offense. What were your biggest takeaways from both sides of the ball? So, Matt, besides Matt Bushman, what was your biggest takeaway on offense?
I don't know that we're going to have a featured running back.
Okay, and that's not a bad thing, is it?
Not a big surprise and not necessarily bad, but I think that seemed to be clear to me watching what they did on Saturday.
So we talked about this a little bit last week. Who leads the team in carries next year?
I don't know.
Or running back touches. Let's make it, because I think they're going to be involved in the passing game. Squally? Is that leader of the clubhouse?
I think right now I kind of have to lean Squally, but I wouldn't be surprised if by three or four games in somebody else is leading the charge based on, you know, a little bit more development in spring ball and then some game situations in September.
You're ready for a bold prediction?
Oh boy.
Squally Canada does not get hurt and he ends the year third in touches.
Yikes.
I just blew your mind, didn't I?
You did just blow my mind.
Tolutau.
There's smoke coming out of my head.
And KJ Hall. Now, he won't beat him in carries, but I think Hall will be very involved in the pass game. And I like Tolutau. The size, the speed. I mean, he was a big-time recruit coming out of high school. I think he could be something special at the running back. You know,
I think in the long term, looking at this group of running backs that we have on the roster right now, If you were at the end of all of their careers as you compare them, Tolutau will be the best one.
Yes, yes.
And I wouldn't even hesitate to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
By a distance, he's going to be the best.
But maybe what you're thinking though is maybe not this year.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure we see all of that this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got Harvey Unga potential, right? With the size, the athleticism. I mean, there's that kind of potential. I'm not saying he's going to have Unga's career because obviously Unga had one of the best careers in BYU history, and Tolutau has yet to take a meaningful snap. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. But we already declared Matt Bushman as the best tight end in BYU history. So, I mean, he did say in interviews that he modeled himself after Dennis Pitt. I'm just saying.
I'm telling you. I know when we talked about this a week ago, I was like, I'm not sold on any of these tight ends. We've been doing this every year after year.
Yeah,
oh, we have a tight end now. We're going to convert this guy. We brought in these guys.
You were being a negative Nelly. Bushman was an actual tight end recruit. None of the rest of these guys were significant recruits. They just weren't.
And none of these guys have done anything that I've seen that looked like what Bushman was doing.
Baldery's a good blocker. I mean, there's some positives. There's just not somebody that can make a difference in the passing game, right? I mean, we had a great rushing offense last year, and part of that was sometimes some good blocks on the edge. But anyway, my take away from the offense, Matt, was nothing. I don't think, outside of what you talked about already and the tight end, I don't think there's anything else that we really learned. I'm not worried about Mangum. People that are worried about Mangum, chill out. Like, this is a spring game. He's just trying stuff out. And as far as the wide receivers, we didn't even see all of them, so I'm not worried. Matt, what about the defensive side of the ball? Any takeaways for you on D?
I thought the defense looked really good, and considering the fact that they weren't running any of their real, they weren't running all their most complicated schemes. You know, they weren't really showing much. And they were, it seemed like they were just kind of reacting to the ball, trying to get into positions to make plays. And it was working. I mean, they looked pretty good.
Yeah, Isaiah Kafusi looked good. Obviously, Butch Powell looked quite good. For me, it was actually the defensive backs. They did not, you know, we talked about last week about being worried. Very small sample size, just a scrimmage. But they looked pretty good. I think Wilcox and Warner on the edges. And did you know last week when we talked about, I did not, showing my ignorance. But when we talked about Gonwaluku, which I'm not sure if I'm saying his name correctly, that's Diane Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, it's his uncle's name.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I learned that, like everybody else watching the scrimmage. Thanks, Captain Obvious. But did you know that before that?
Yeah. There had been a couple stories on it.
I missed it. Somehow yeah. I missed that one. So when we did it last week, I'm like, I didn't say it, but I was like, who's Gonwaluku? Is that a Jason transfer I missed?
But he's got, but that's part of what I was trying to get at last week is we have a couple guys with some experience.
Yes.
And, you know, one of them, he's, you know, his name's a lot longer than it used to be.
Yes.
But I'll
tell you a lot, him, Warner and Wilcox, like, and you need three good cover corners, right? Because of how many dime and nickel packages are played. You need guys that can, besides your two guys. So sometimes when they do the starting of the 4-3, you know, I get it, but a lot of times, you know, you really got to look beyond that. You know, and anyway, so that's the defense. Matt, let's move on. Anything besides Tanner Mangum that you would take away about the QB play?
Yeah, Bo Hodge is fast.
He is very fast. He's very fast.
I think he could do some real special things. You know, when you think about what, you know, what's the future of the position and you look, I mean, Detmer just looks itty bitty out there.
I thought the same thing.
Just looks so small and, you know, almost like nervous for him, small. But Bo Hodge looked fast and a little bit bigger. I don't remember what he was weighing in at last year, but he looked a little bit bigger to me. But that's a guy, I mean, I think he's the heir apparent. I would assume.
Well, I don't know if he's
after Tanner's done.
I don't know if he's the heir apparent because there's a lot of guys that'll come into the program between now and then, and it's just I don't know. Will Stead obviously right off his mission, but he is the guy. I believe this, despite what the coach's staff is saying. If Tanner Mangum gets hurt, it's Bo Hodge, I believe, who will get the first shot.
And I think if you watch what they were doing on Saturday, I think they've decided that. That is a fact. They just don't want to. They're just not going to say it out loud.
No, because they want to push Hodge, which is good. They should push him. He shouldn't. You should never have the second. I mean, I'm fine with them saying Tanner's the guy. After that, you should never say the guy is number two. You want him to get pushed.
And you've got four other guys on the roster that also need to stay motivated. One of whom is a senior who's come in, who's probably looking for some opportunity. You know, so I think you've got to. You've got to leave that door open.
Right. Well,
when you've got a freshman, I know he's just a freshman, but he's 6'6", 220 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big dude right there.
Yes, he is. He is a big guy, and he looked very raw, but that's fine. He just got off his mission. We don't expect him to not look, I mean, he should look.
Yeah,
wrong,
I mean,
right?
Right. Yeah, right. Elder Wilstead has just returned, right? I mean, just cut him a little bit of slack, but he's got some. That's real size right there. I mean, that's NFL size.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's.
We'll see what his arm looks like when he gets up to speed. But geez.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how that works. But Matt, looking at that computer QB pipeline going forward, obviously, assuming Tanner stays both years, that he doesn't have some fantastic junior year that leads him to the draft. It's Tanner in 2018. After that, you'll have on the roster in 2019, Bo Hodge, Cody Wilstead, Jaron Hall, Joe Critchlow, Mason Fakaua. You'll have a bunch of guys on the roster. Now, you may be right that Hodge will get that first stop, but if Wilstead is as good as I think some people think he's going to be, You may install him as a because I assume he's gonna redshirt this year. Wilstead will. You know, you won't need to play him. You've got and young Tanner, I think, ended up. Did I see him was he dressed as a safety?
I wondered that, but I didn't get a good look.
He was wearing a blue jersey, so I think he was playing on the defensive side of the ball. I didn't remember hearing any reports about that. Matt, what did you think of BYU TV's coverage? This is our first chance to ever get to see it on TV. Obviously, we're going to have Jerem on here in a minute, but so don't be too mean.
Well, I will go back. I think young Tanner did dress as a safety. I think they're looking to play him somewhere other than quarterback.
Yeah,
I think that's the plan for him. I think that was the plan coming in.
Yeah, he's not going to play quarterback.
Right. So, so the coverage of the spring game. So, you know, what's the way to say this? I love to see a spring game that's set up like a game, like this is a scrimmage game. You know, where you take the first string offense and the second string D, and the opposite of that, form a couple of teams and have them play four quarters against each other.
That is not what we got.
That's not what we got. And that's just not what they're doing. I'd love to see that. So basically, you know, what we watched on Saturday was a glorified practice with kind of air quotes around it a little bit, with some live hitting, and some full speed running and stuff like that. So I mean, it was good. Now I think covering something like that is difficult. So I will say that, because you know, how do you really do it? Because the whole first half hour of the coverage it feels like pregame warmups.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's multiple drills happening at the same time, so it's not like you can just do, you know, show the field. It won't be that interesting.
So I did feel like there was a lot of just of bouncing around, and you know, close ups on guys throwing the ball and stuff. I would have liked to see, let's watch, you know, these one on one drills with the linemen for 15 minutes. And I would sit there. I'd sit there and watch that for an hour.
Yeah, I thought
their realize coverage, not everybody wants to do that.
I thought their coverage was great. I mean, number one, it's just great to be able to see it as a fan. You in Louisiana and me in Minnesota, where we don't get to attend it. So that was awesome. What I would have liked to have seen more, Matt, was just more profiles. They did quite a few player profiles. I don't need a profile on Tanner Mangum in the spring game. I don't need a profile on, you know, I don't need a profile on Fred Warner. You know what
right.
I mean? I don't need a profile
show me
on
Show me a guy that's trying to make the roster that I don't know
yes.
about.
Or the backup linebackers. Like Isaiah Calfusi has this great game, you know, great scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. Let's have one rolling on him. But I don't need one on Hanneman. I don't need one on Fred Warner. I want to learn about guys I don't know about. And I feel like outside of Bushman and one other two, I felt like they could have spent more time on some of these other guys. Now, to be fair, there's no film, and they probably wouldn't be allowed to interview these guys. So it's just going to be them talking about it. So maybe that's why they decided to not do it. But I would have preferred some of that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head of why you didn't get that.
Yeah, that is probably why you did not get it.
But they definitely brought the energy like it was a game day. So
oh, yeah.
It did have a feel when I turned it on and it started. It did have a feel like, oh wow, here we go, we're watching a game today.
Yeah, I thought the whole BYU TV crew did an excellent job. Obviously, some not great weather conditions either. Matt, other news to come out of Saturday was that there was a last minute JUCO transfer at the cornerback position. Trevian Green, who is a high school teammate of Squally Canada, if I'm not mistaken, he was there visiting during the weekend and committed. He had a visit scheduled, I believe, to go to Iowa State, among other schools. And after their student union decided that they didn't like BYU, I'm kind of now anti-Iowa State. I just have to say that. So
you're just anti-everybody.
So
geez.
Suck it. Cyclones. I'm just kidding. I've got some good friends that went to Iowa State. When I've talked to them about their student union coming out against BYU, they said it was like they hung their heads in shame. Anyway, so good news. This JUCO transfer, 6'4", 190, Matt, as a defensive back. So adding some depth to there, obviously. There's no starting positions that are clearly open. He'll join in fall camp. But man, I you know, a good JUCO transfer, I'm all good with that.
Oh, who doesn't want another defensive back, right? With some size.
Yeah, for sure. So Matt, that's anything else you want to say about the spring scrimmage before we move on to a couple of other topics here?
I'm just gonna say that's one of the greatest events in the history of BYU football, and I'd like to thank Tom Homo and BYU TV for putting it on. This is something we've all wanted for so long.
Ever since I moved out of Utah.
And it's, we will remember. We will remember for years televised it this year.
Where were you the first time they televised it?
And it's a watershed moment. Watershed moment for BYU fans.
You know what's great about BYU TV is I had some other things going on that afternoon with the family. Doesn't matter. Watched it on BYU TV when I got home.
Yep.
On the good old BYU TV, they call it the DVR, which is ridiculous because it's not recording. It's just streaming. Anyway, so Matt, the next topic we have is the BYU Pro Day.
Yes. Okay.
So, to be honest, I don't usually care much about these Pro Days, right? They come and they go. Guys put up decent numbers sometimes. But I'm going to say this Pro Day was extremely interesting. Last week, we talked about Taysom as if he was not going to go to the NFL or even try.
That's basically what we said.
There hadn't been much noise. I knew he was going to go to the Pro Day, but I mean, he's there, right? So why not do that? My tune has changed a little bit, Matt. He ran a 4.44 40, which is fast. It would have been, I think,
would have been the fastest quarterback at the combine.
Yeah. Fastest quarterback at the combine. But that's not the amazing part. The amazing part is his vertical leap, which I saw an interview with him. He basically said, like, he hadn't really been training much except for the sprinting.
Right.
And he did a 38.5-inch vert coming off of an injury.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt, let's go to the tweet bag. Okay?
Tweet bag.
Justin Whiting on Twitter, that's @JNWhiting. He says, what is Taysom Hill doing in a year? Over, under 50% playing football, hashtag tweet bag. Matt, last week we were both like single digits percent chance he's playing football. Over, under 50% chance he's playing professional football. Or is still involved in it at this point next year?
I guess it depends on how you define involved in it. I think it's a lot closer to 50 than what I was willing to say a week ago, but I still say it's below 50%.
It's way below 50%, maybe higher based on these numbers. But we already knew he was a freak athlete. His biggest problem is the position, right? Now, I've read a few articles where some folks are saying like an H-back, potentially. I actually think running back, if he could stay healthy, I think he could be an NFL running back. But the other one people are talking about is flip him to the other side of the ball and have him play safety.
Well, we used to talk about that. I mean, when he was coming back from his injury to play one more year, right? That was something that we played with a little bit on here is, well, maybe you do that so that he's not taking hits like he did.
But here's the thing. There's a lot of freak athletes in the NFL like him who've been playing their position for 10 years or 15.
That's right.
That's why, despite his freak athleticism, but as this showed, there's not that many freak athletes like him. Maybe I'm overstating the case, right?
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of reasons that this is a bad comparison, but there are a couple reasons that it's a decent one.
Uh-oh.
Tim Tebow.
Oh, boy. Yeah, actually, right? It is a good – I think you're
Tim Tebow, really good athlete. Pretty good college quarterback, right? Great athlete, some freakish skills, but not an NFL quarterback. And bounced around on a couple of rosters. People really wanted to make the Tebow thing work. And it just didn't. And now it's not working in Major League Baseball. But that's a completely separate conversation.
Well, that's just dumb that he did Major League Baseball, to be honest.
The guy just wants to play sports. But so I think when you
No, he does not. If he wanted to play sports, he'd be an H-back in the NFL or a tight end. He doesn't want to play sports. He wants to be a star. No, he doesn't want to just play football.
Do you think had he been willing to play tight end in the NFL, it would have worked?
Yes. I think he'd be playing H-back right now for the Patriots. I think that's why they brought him into camp that year, to try to convince him. And it didn't work, and they cut him. I think he'd be in the NFL right now. He's a freakishly good athlete. But let's you drew the comparison. Guess what his vertical leap was at the NFL Combine?
I don't know.
38.5 inches, same as Taysom Hill's. His 40-yard dash was 4.71. Taysom is faster, and I would have eye test would have said that was true. I think Tebow was probably a little bit more powerful as a runner, and I don't mean that as at Taysom wasn't a powerful runner, but Taysom had a gear. Sometimes I remember a couple announcers saying, well, he's really not that fast, and I'd be like, really? Not that fast? Anyway, I was impressed those numbers were coming off an injury, Matt. He's a freak.
He is a freak, and we've always known that. And if he's willing to try something at an H-back or at a tight end, maybe he does figure something out. But then it's just going to be a matter of who picks him up and what they can do with him, right? I mean, if Cleveland decides to try something tricky with him, then that's not going to end well.
Yeah,
So I don't know. Could he do it? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I still think it's a long, long road ahead.
And for better or worse, teams are not going to look at his numbers at the BYU Pro Day the same way they would had it been at the Combine.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They just won't.
They won't. But you know, there were a lot of scouts there, and I think there is I think there's definitely a potential there that he could do it. And the thing is, there's going to be somebody that's willing to take a shot on him, okay? It's going to be somebody. So at the NFL Pro Day, his 4.44 would have been a top top 30 time.
That's not bad. That's not too shabby.
That's not too shabby. And among running backs, sorry, I'm clicking here. Very exciting for the listeners. Among running backs, it would have been fourth. So that's all I'm saying. Among running backs, it would have been fourth. And second among running backs, higher than Christian McCaffrey's. All right. So, Matt, also on the freakish athletic scale is kind of
Why didn't we have him playing running back?
We've had this discussion. I thought he should have been playing running back last year with Tanner as the quarterback. We've had this discussion. He is the best. He may be the best running back in BYU history. He just never played the position.
The greatest running back that never was.
He put up amazing running back stats. Right.
So let me, and I don't mean, we don't need to beat this, but
you are beat. Yeah, you do. But it's okay. That's what we do.
Had they done that last year? Do you think he gets invited to the combine?
Yes. You put a year of tape with him as a running back. The problem is, can he stay healthy? Right. That would have been the problem. That many carries. Can he stay healthy? I have no idea. But you have him and Williams in the backfield and Mangum thrown. I think it could have been. I think the offense could have been very different, very special. So, Matt, let's talk about Kai Nakua real fast. He had a 39-inch vert, 4.5. He's a good athlete as well. His 39-inch vert would have been 10th among all players at the NFL Combine and 3rd among safeties. Matt, does he get drafted? No. Free agent. And it'll be better.
Because he's not going to go high. We've talked about this. We talk about this every year. He's not going to go high enough to prefer the draft slot versus being able to chase a free agent opportunity.
All right. Next guy on the combine list was Andrew Eadie, the tackle. Matt, A 30.5-inch vert.
Yeah. I'm surprised by this guy. I'm not going to lie to you.
I thought he had a good career. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I was shocked by his numbers. 30.5-inch, 33 reps, a little over 5 seconds on the 40-yard dash, good 20-yard shuttle time. I mean, his numbers would have looked good at the NFL Combine as a potential offensive lineman. Now, I'm not a scout. I don't know what his tape would say, but I think he did a good job last year. That's my impression. What do you think the chances are that Andrew Edey gets drafted?
I don't think that he's got a real good shot at being drafted. I think he's another free agent guy.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see – I think that, every year we see 4 or 5 of these guys sign into a camp somewhere.
Yeah. I think he makes a roster. I don't think he gets drafted.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think these numbers combined with his tape probably give him a shot. And the thing is, offensive linemen are just hard to find and get injured. I mean, there's always a need to have a bunch of them around.
And every year there's a handful of like the big flashy offensive lineman prospects coming out, right?
Yep.
But those aren't always the guys that the teams are interested in. They seem to dig a little bit deeper for offensive linemen, maybe than for skills positions. So it's hard to tell what teams are going to do and how they're going to evaluate these guys.
Okay, so the last two people we're going to talk about, we're not going to talk a lot because we are way out of time. Jamal Williams, we're not going to talk about him. We've done a whole show on him, and we'll do more. Harvey Lange, Matt, apparently the Patriots are interested, and NFL.com's last mock draft has Harvey Lange going in the 3rd round to the Pats.
I think he gets drafted.
I think he gets drafted. We've talked about this before. We both thought he's going to get drafted. 3rd round seems high, but maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, you wonder, knowing that they were interested, right? And we know that. You wonder if somebody because sometimes these guys, they talk to teams. They're not just going and saying, rank order the guys and just have each team take the next best player available.
Right.
So maybe there's something to that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, Matt, let's end with Mika. And we, in order to not make this the longest podcast in show history, he's entering the NFL, the NFL draft. He's entering the NBA draft, though I think he could be a good, maybe he could be a good defensive end.
Could be a tight end.
Could be a tight end. Could be. He's got good hands. Matt, he's entering the draft, doesn't hire an agent. I listened to his interview on BYU Sports Nation, which we're recording this on Tuesday night. They did it Monday. He's going to the NBA, Matt. Unless he gets a grade 2nd round only, he's going. If he gets any team in the teens or early 20s say we're going to draft you, he's in. How does that make you feel?
Yikes.
That's just my impression based on his interviews.
And so if that happens, is the dream dead?
Well, that's the big question, Matt. So, Gary Payne asked this, our brother Don, Johnny Ashton, all asked very similar tweet bag questions. Basically, what happens to next year's team? It's a disaster, man. It's a disaster.
Yeah, they're wandering in the wilderness.
I think if Mika leaves, Rose has to step back and totally retool what he's going to do for next year. And maybe, roster-wise, I basically more mean scheme, which he probably needed to do anyway based on the results of last season. Matt, do they get into the tournament without Mika next year?
No.
Do they even finish 3rd in the WCC?
Maybe.
I say yes.
NIT. Yeah, that one's doable. They're not going to the big dance without him.
Man, you'd need Emery to not only get back to where he was as a freshman, but probably go farther. You'd need TJ Hawes to take the leap. You'd need Childs to take the leap. And you'd need several of these other guys on the roster to pop. That's a lot of ifs.
Good news, though. Good news is You'd have another you'd have another scholarship for a defensive specialist.
No, you may not. Zach Selyus just got back from his mission unexpectedly.
Yeah, but he was. But oh well, yeah.
Yeah, the scholarships are held while they're on their mission. So, we talked about a couple weeks ago. They're going to have to cut some guys if they're going to bring on new people, and I don't think this changes that enough just because of that. So Matt, I think he's going. I think there's a better than 50% chance that Eric Mika is not with BYU next year. That makes me sad.
Yeah, it is a little sad.
He'll go down as you know, his chance of being a top five player in BYU history goes away with that, right? Because you and I have talked about this before. You got to have like three seasons, right, for him to knock out some of these other guys who played four seasons.
Yeah, you just need this. The sustained performance is what's going to get you.
I mean, this season, if we were ranking seasons, is one of the best seasons BYU big man's ever done. But you have to knock it down a little bit because they didn't make the tournament, right? Yep. And you know, that's not all on him, but it is a team. It is a sport where you only play eight guys. So, you know, it's partially on him. Get you out on this. Calvin Johnson on Facebook, and I believe a first-time tweet bagger.
Welcome to the tweet bag, Calvin.
Welcome to the tweet bag. Calvin asks, in a vacuum, which of these NBA big men would you most want on BYU's roster? Okay. 03, 04, Rafael Arujo. 07, 08, Trent Plaisted. Or 16, 17, Eric Mika. It's not very hard for me. I'll let you go first, though.
You got to go with Mika.
You got to go with Mika. Though Arujo in 03, 04 was pretty good. And Plaisted with... We're talking about three really good seasons here, but I got to go with Mika. Now, I think people are going to argue about the success of those teams might have been a little better than Mika's team, but I would say their rosters those years were a little bit more loaded.
Yeah, there were a lot of different pieces at play there to create those situations.
The sad part is, Matt, this whole Lone Peak 3 thing may have lasted only 1 year and not been what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
This I talk about it with Jerem here in a few minutes, so you guys are going to get to hear this a little bit again, but this could be a real devastating blow to the program. I know people are talking about, well, it's a guy going to the pros, that's good for the program, that's good for BYU if he does well in the NBA, and that's true. But, you know, Sean Bradley went to the pros. That wasn't good for BYU. That didn't work out great.
That didn't work out great for a lot of people.
So, worked out great for Sean Bradley. He made lots of money.
Yeah.
And he was in Space Jam.
Who doesn't want to be in Space Jam?
Right? Everybody wants to be in Space Jam.
But I want to make one point clear, right? If Mika gets the right grade,
he should go.
He should go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is what he should do for him.
Yes. Yes. I think.
Like, I can't criticize him.
No. You know,
we can talk about the impact it have on the program and those types of things, but that's not about
trying to make
anybody feel bad or saying that he should be worried about that because that's not his problem.
That is not his problem. His problem is to look out for Eric Mika.
That's right. He's got to watch out for number one.
And if somebody tells him, I got the 15th or 16th pick in the draft and I'm going to take you, you go. It's easy. It's an easy call.
Yep.
Well, Matt, we'll be back. Are we going to be back next week, or are we taking next week off?
No.
Let me look at the schedule.
The schedule?
The schedule. Yes, we'll be back next week because we're going to talk our annual Major League Baseball preview that everyone hates.
Yeah.
We'll do it at the end so you can stop listening, and the three or four of you that like it can continue listening. And we'll talk a little bit more about the NFL draft. We'll specifically start spending some more time brainstorming where we think Longy and Jamal might end up. So anyway, thanks to everybody for downloading and listening. As I mentioned before, you can interact with us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. You can email us at RiseAndShoutPod, one word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. Other than that, that should be it. So we'll see you guys next week. We won't actually see you, but you'll hear us talking. We'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
You know, when nothing's going on in BYU sports and there's nothing to talk about, I like to bring on our old friend Jerem Jordan from BYU TV. Jerem, welcome back to the podcast.
Nothing going on? Nothing. What in the world?
Nothing. There's what? Nothing happening. There's nothing happening in BYU sports. So boring this week.
Here's a napkin to wipe the sarcasm off.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. There's like, it's pretty eventful right now. I mean, there's a lot going on, which makes it fun for a daily show and a weekly podcast such as yours, right?
Oh my gosh. Like since we recorded last, so many things have happened. The least of which normally would not be the case, was BYU men's volleyball splitting with the number one team in the country.
That was quite the weekend. Let me tell you, the environment, as you well know, having covered BYU volleyball in the past, it was up there. This is my ninth year calling matches on BYU TV, and that weekend is one of the best in terms of the crowd and the opponent. And, I mean, the stage was there. Rare is the BYU loss at home, and rare is the sweep at home. But that happened Saturday. But, yeah, BYU did lose the tiebreaker, but it was very exciting. It was a ton of fun. I think that fans really loved it, and this team's really good. I think this team is right now the third best team in volleyball, so that means they're going to be right there at the end competing for the national title.
Yeah. Well, and if Patch is at, will you think he'll be at full strength by the time tournament time rolls around, or is that too soon?
Which tournament, the MPSF or the NCAA?
NCAA.
I think that he's going to be as good as he can be. Okay. Really, pretty soon. And you're right, that's in May. We're in March, so he did play. They weren't going to play him until he was ready. And I'm not sure the plan was for him to play over the weekend, but there was some desperation there. Inserted him. BYU got a lead, but Long Beach State still won that set. So I anticipate that they have a bye week this week at Santa Barbara and then the MPSF tournament. I mean, it's 3 weeks, almost a month, until meaningful matches again.
Yeah.
So they can rest him.
Yeah, he's aged. What the hair? I mean, quickly aged. Very silver.
Yeah, it's like Benjamin Button deal going on here.
Yeah, what's going on there. But before you called that match on Saturday, and after you called the match on Friday, there was something called the spring game, Jerem, and let's chat about that. I have not seen a spring football game in a long time because I don't live in Utah, so I don't get to.
Yeah.
It's on TV. It was awesome. You guys covered it, you and Spencer and the whole BYU TV crew on it. But it's always typically I'd say when I read the stories, people are overreacting to something that happened in the game.
Yeah.
So I will throw
all year long, Adam.
That's true. That's true. Not just the spring game.
That's what being a fan is.
So Bushman is the best tight end in BYU history. There, I said it. Done.
Step aside, Gordon Hudson, Dennis Pitta, and Chris Smith. Get out of the way, Matt Bushman, Red
Lightning.
That's
right. So that being said, all superlatives aside and hyperbole. He looked really good. Like
he did.
Like he looked good. Do we have a tight end? Does BYU have a legitimate pass catching tight end?
Listen, if BYU plays Portland State, LSU, Utah, and Wisconsin, and he's a notable figure, then we can say that, right?
Right.
Does he look good in spring? Yes. Has this happened before with guys? Yeah, kind of. I mean, in his first spring game, fresh off a mission, not really. I mean, this is somewhat unprecedented, but I don't have a good tally or feel for spring ball, anything outside of the last couple of years. So, no, he's a baller. He had Matt Bushman had 63 catches his senior year at Sabino in Tucson, which is a powerhouse, and 26 of those were touchdowns. I mean, this guy is an incredible athlete. He's kind of on the baseball team, so we know he can play. It's good news. And Ronai Lu'uputitau is there. Tanner Baldry is a proven, really good blocker. Hunter Marshall was in the mix. I mean, there's some guys there, and obviously this offense set up to use tight end more. So I think it's exciting. In fact, he's a freshman, come in and boom, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, athletic grabs in traffic. Hey, that's great.
I have a vision of something here, Jerem. I'm envisioning 3 tight end sets with MLP, Bushman, and Baldry. And massive matchup problems for linebackers. I'm just
saying. That could be interesting, right? You might MLP is essentially a heavier receiver at this point. He said he's gained 15 or 20 pounds. So you could flex him out. You go twins or two tight ends with Bushman and Baldery. And, yeah, that could be interesting, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Why not? Hey, I'll tell Ty.
Yeah, you slipped that in next time. Hey, I was talking to this podcast guy, and he had this great idea.
Hey, buddy, it's funny because last year before the spring game, before in fall camp, I said, "Hey Ty, I got a idea for the first play you call." And he's like, "What, a flea flicker?" And I was like, "Oh man, how do you know?"
Statue of Liberty.
He's like, "Yeah, you and everybody else." Yeah.
Statue of Liberty, Ty. So let's talk about some of the other storylines from the game. I'm not even going to waste our airtime talking about how Mangum did or did not perform. Waste of time.
Thank you.
The let's talk about backups coming into spring camp. I assumed that Bo Hodge was the clear number two, and that anybody else that would really vie for the number two job was likely to redshirt. Now the coaches are not saying that. So you tell me, is that storyline coming in still the same, and you think coaches are just saying it's a competition, or do you really believe, based on what you're hearing and what we saw on Saturday, that there really is a competition for the second QB spot?
I've talked with on and off camera with Clint Take and Ty Detmer multiple times in the past, like, 4 days, and the number two spot's up for grabs. I mean, Bo Hodge has not solidified that. Is Bo the most experienced and best athlete of that position? Yes. But Coy Detmer actually has a pretty good grasp of it, and he's throwing the ball well. I think Cody Wilson is pretty raw. Those are Ty Detmer's words, where he could benefit from maybe a redshirt this year and could be in the mix in the future, right? I think Coy... If Coy Detmer is your backup, he's really earned it, right? He was a scout squad guy. Is Coy Detmer a great option against Wisconsin in week three if something happens? Like, hey, I love Coy. He's a nice dude, but I'm not sure that's what you're hoping to do is use your walk-on third or fourth string a year ago in that situation, right? That'd make you a little nervous. But Coy's working hard. I think BYU's all in on Tanner. Which can be a little dangerous. I think a guy like Bo Hodge needs to be ready. I think Coy Detmer needs to be ready too.
Yeah, for sure. Because we've seen that happen. The number one go down. So it's pretty common in college football. So moving away from the quarterback position, and let's flip to the other side of the ball. I'll come back to running back here in a minute. But on the other side of the ball, there were a couple of linebackers, including Isaiah Kafusi and others that looked pretty good this, and we didn't have necessarily a lot of the starters playing a lot during the scrimmage. What is your takeaway from that linebacker group and from the defensive backs who created a lot of havoc now against, admittedly sometimes second and third string offensive players, but was this what you kind of expected to see out of the spring scrimmage, or did the defense even maybe exceed expectations?
I think this defense is ball hawking pretty well. Without Kainakua, there's some questions on the back end there who are going to be playmakers. But Laiša Tuiaki and Clemens Take said before the season last year, hey, we want to prevent people from scoring points and get a lot of turnovers. And they were top 20 in both. In fact, they were number two in turnovers with 31 forced, which was awesome. I think this team can create a lot of turnover. I think there's some good athletes. Like you mentioned, Isaiah Kafusi had a couple picks. It was nice to see Chris Wilcox get an interception, given the fact he was kind of thrown in there and then kind of put on blast by the public against Utah, right? We didn't really hear from him later. So I'm happy for that guy because I think he's got some talent. I think BYU's got some good corners in the artist formerly known as Diane Lake, Gunwoloku, I believe is how you say that. And then, of course, Troy Warner. Safeties, you got some playmakers in the back end. Linebackers, you have your starting three that you know those are the guys, Warner, Pau, and Bernard. And then, yeah, there's some talent back there. I think that what Clemens Take and Laiša Tuiaki did really well when they were at Utah is build a great defensive line, surround them with playmakers behind them, and then those defenses were really good. I think that the defensive line is going to be better than people think this year because hey, there's a bunch of these Polynesians whose names I can't pronounce. That's kind of the defensive line at this point.
Right.
I think that Moses Kalmatule is going to be a good player. I think Corbin Kafusi could be a really good player. I think there's a lot of guys there. Kenzie Tauzing is making strides. This defense, I think, is going to be the heart of the team. And then the offense, I hope, is good enough with kind of some unproven receivers and running backs and a somewhat proven quarterback.
Yeah.
And a more experienced offensive line, which is good. Bjorn brings a lot of pieces back on the line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned the running backs. At the end of the year, you just kind of think, well, Squally Canada was number two. He'll be number one. I'm having a feeling, Jerem, that Squally Canada does not lead the team in carries this year. That's just a gut feeling. I mean, at the end of the day, who leads the team in carries? Who touches the rock the most this year?
Yeah, right now, I don't see someone supplanting him for that number. I don't think that Squally is a – I don't think that BYU has any back that is all three downs. I think it's going to be pretty wild the first couple of weeks where we go, so who's – the average fan will be like, so who's that? So who's that, right? Because you have a list of five or six guys, and I think they all have decent potential. Like, so Squally Canada is there. Riley Byrd is fresh off of a redshirt. He can be a player, especially in the return game and kind of sweeps and that kind of thing. If he gets the space, he can move. We saw what he did his freshman year. He got a whole year to sit out and work on his speed. He's a good player. KJ Hall, at the end of the year, he had a 100-yard rushing game in kind of one of those more meaningless games at the back end. But he's quick and elusive, and if you get him and maybe some screens in space, he had a nice one of those in the spring game. Kavik Fonua, and of course, Ula Tolutau, the guy that everyone's talking about. He's a big bruiser. I think there's situations where he's going to be really effective early as he kind of grows, third and short situations. I think maybe he's your guy there, first and 10, kind of Squally. If you're in a second and 8 situation, you throw a screen to KJ Hall. I think BYU has some options to where if you put in a running back, you're not exactly sure what you're going to get, which is scary, but also kind of fun as this offense continues. I think there's some decent talent there. I like the group, but yeah, there's not a clear cut dude right now. And they're pretty young. I mean, you look at the group, I don't think you have a senior in the mix in there. They're all kind of underclassmen. Squally's going to be a junior. So and I can mold these guys for a couple years.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, the last position we haven't talked about is wide receiver. We didn't necessarily see a lot of the guys that will probably be getting the most of the snaps. Did see Trenneman, though. The new number threw me off for a second. What do we think about that group? I mean, the last few years have been a lot of wide receiver hype. I believe on your show there has been a word "elite" thrown around a couple times.
Yeah, please don't use that in vain.
Yeah, yeah, I won't. I won't. Could
it's hard
this
enough 1 hour every day?
So, yeah. So every I'm down on the group. I'll just say that. But last week on our show, my brother Matt says, "You know what? I think this could be the year where no one is expecting anything out of the group, and this is the year where, with Mangum at quarterback, as well as maybe some experience, as well as some new athletic wide receivers who are very different than the group we've had in the past few years, that this could be a year where they become a major asset for the team. So where do you sit on that spectrum, me being Mr. Pessimism and Matt being Mr. Optimism?
So he's Spencer and you are me. Okay, that's
yes.
Good to know.
I
am kind of still waiting to see with the group, but listen, Tanner Mangum's going to throw for 3,000 yards and someone's going to catch the ball. Like,
right.
It's going to happen.
Right.
Is there a guy that's going to have 1,000 yards in this group? I say heck no, and that's okay, right? Last year, there was a stat you don't want, which is no one caught 100 yards in a game. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's kind of weird, but I think there's some skill in this. This is not 2015 with a 6'6 Mitch Matthews, a 6'5 Nick Kurtz, a 6'5 Taren Houck. This is not that group. This is 6'3 and under with Jonah Trenneman, Talon Shumway, Micah Simon, Bo Tanner. There's a lot of these smaller dudes. But I think that BYU is going to be okay because you do have some talent at tight end. And I think that BYU is going to have an effective run game to be able to set up a simple pass game. You have a better thrower in the mix with Tanner Mangum. You're not going to be bailed out with Taysom Hill's runs, and trust me, we'll miss that. Like, just like BYU basketball missed Kyle Collinsworth's abilities at point guard and the unique, oh, he can't shoot, Taysom can't throw the deep ball. You missed Kyle Collinsworth a little bit this year. BYU will miss Taysom Hill and some of the plays that he made, but I think the pass game will be fine. Will it be as dynamic as 96 and 06? No, but I think BYU is working its way up there. You have a junior quarterback, so expect play to be better, second year in the offense. I think the receivers will be fine. There's not a – and here's some context that's taken away, too. In Independence, we can't say, oh, that guy's second team all-league, he's good. Like, we don't have that context. So it's harder to be like, that guy's good or not, because all we have is stats. We don't have the validation of all-league, all-second league. Phil Steele's all-second independent team's not doing it for me because there's only four teams. I think that would help in this conversation of, like, who's good, and they're returning, and it's harder to evaluate that, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And just to put it in context, the last time we had a 1,000-yard wide receiver, I think, was Hoffman in 2012, and there haven't been a ton recently, and I don't know what – so we didn't have a guy go over 100 yards. I don't care about that.
Jonah Trinneman had a 75-yard catch on the first play of the game and didn't get 100.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. The chances of that
going for two picks.
Yeah, that's not likely. But I'm with you. I think this group has potential. But I think it's more about the style of play. Somebody's going to get yards. I bet you somebody ends up with 800 or 900 just because, like you said. He's going to throw for 3,500 yards, and somebody's. It's not going to be all the tight ends. We're not going to go from zero tight end catches to one of the tight ends catching 90 balls or something crazy. So,
3,500 too high for me, by the way, in this offense.
What's that?
3,500 passing too high for me.
You think so, huh? Nah, I think he gets it. I think
there's not enough plays. I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's just not go fast, go hard. There's no doubt of that.
Which was volume, and yeah. BYU's defense is good because they rested a little bit. You know what I mean? Like that plays a role.
Oh,
it's not the old school. Yeah, it's not the old school offense. Like, Ty's. Listen, okay.
He's not going to have 50. Understand what's, he's not going to have 5,100 yards like Ty.
Yeah. Ty's like, let's not do what I did. Yes. Because my arm hurts still. I think fans will understand what BYU is doing better if they think about this. What was BYU's greatest asset in the 80s and 90s when they tore it up in the 70s? That they did it different than everybody else, right?
Right.
They had this unique system.
Yes.
What does everyone do now? Spread offense, go fast, go hard. What is the minority offense outside of the wishbone and triple option? It's the smash mouth power offense with big O linemen, good rushing game, and good use of the tight. That's what BYU is going towards. They're trying to do it different again, but the different is not sexy. The difference is Jody Dress, right? And it's tight ends, and it's running backs and big O linemen, and simple throws, and not a ton down the field. And what? This isn't BYU football. BYU football is winning, right? And consistent winning. So if you think about that, it's maybe not the flavor that everyone prefers of their offense. But if BYU can continue to kind of win at a consistent clip, get some big wins in here, kind of get better by it, I'd be nice to go to 9.5 a year instead of kind of 8.5 wins. Now we're talking, right?
Oh, yeah. And yes, I agree with everything you said. I still think he gets close to 3,500 yards. Even with this offense, I think he gets close. But obviously, you're taking
great.
The under. But that's all right. That's all right. So let's shift gears. As I said, nothing going on in BYU sports over the last few days. Let's get you out with Eric Mika. So obviously this was a down year for most fans' perspective. I think a lot of us thought they'd have a better year. You got the Lone Peak 3 all together. You had front line depth, which of course did not materialize the way, well, some it did, because Childs obviously was better than I think most of us thought he'd be in this first year. But you lose Davis and don't have some of the other guys step up on the front line. But all of a sudden now you have, at the end of a disappointing year, you have Eric Mika say he's going to kick the tires on the draft, not hire an agent so he can, of course, come back. You know, is this like a just kind of an extra kick in the teeth for BYU fans at the end of kind of what was a frustrating season?
Yeah, it is interesting, right? Because this is the most frustrated the fan base has been in the 12 years of Dave Rose era.
Yes.
Because even when BYU went to the NIT and fans were disappointed, they made it to New York City. So it was like, well, they made a run, so they made something out of it. All right, I don't feel so bad, right? Won a couple games, sweet, you know. This year it was, you lose to Utah Valley and you keep losing to Pepperdine. You lost at home to Utah Arlington. Somehow you beat number one Gonzaga, which is the most like crazy thing of all the years. They go to the Final Four and this is like Dave Rose's most disappointing year. It's like, what in the world? We'll remember this win forever, you know. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, I don't like the vibe right now. It's a weird vibe. And Eric kicks the tires, like you said. I think after talking to him today on BYU Sports Nation, I think he's more serious than we think. Like, he's a pretty sincere dude. He's going to kill the workouts. Right now, he's on no one's draft board. But he went to Italy on his mission, and this may be a big boon for him in this, where that is always an option to go play there because he speaks Italian, he knows the area a little bit, and the NBA is certainly the goal. I wonder. His family's in a great financial position. He's married, so socially everything's fine. Like, he doesn't need to feel like he needs to be here to like be the BYU guy and find a wife and whatever. Like, he's in a good spot in his life. He's a pro potential. And so I feel like he's going to come back to BYU. But I didn't have any fear when Jimmer Fredette, speaking as a fan, I guess, right now, I didn't have any fear after Jimmer Fredette's junior that he would actually leave. I just thought, oh, he's testing it and whatever. He's not going to be a first-round pick. I have legit fear that Eric Meekum might leave. Like, it's probably 28% and 72% as he's coming back. But there's part of me that's like, oh, my goodness, he actually might leave, and this might blow up BYU basketball, all the plans.
You know what this unfortunately reminds me a little bit of, getting back in the Wayback Machine? Now, circumstances are very, very different, but a certain 7'6" center returning from his mission and declaring for the NBA draft. Now, it's very different, right, because he was a guaranteed lottery pick, and it was right before the salary cap was going to change. So Sean Bradley made absolutely the right decision. He went and became a very rich man, and obviously Mika, yeah, barring something bizarre, is not going to be one of the top picks in the NBA draft, nor can he make the kind of money anymore in this system. But it just, the part that reminds me of it is his decision to go was a massive blow to BYU. Like, it was, yes, it was a crushing blow to the program that basically sent it into its worst phase in program history. I'm not saying that'll happen, but I'm with you. I think there is a decent chance, and I wouldn't have said that even a week ago, but if Mika says that he's going, I got to believe he thinks there's a decent shot. Like you said, maybe it's 25%, but that's, I would have said earlier in the year, like 5-10%. So if he thinks legit, Jerem, that's, how devastating is that for the program? Forget about fans, just like for next season, if he's not there, I mean, is it an absolute disaster? Do you think they got enough folks on the roster that they can put something together?
Two thoughts. One, Spencer Linton brought up a great point. He said, hey, the year Trent Plaisted went out, we thought that would like be a blow to the program, and it wasn't. Keen Young was not the most comfortable player of the year, that year, the next year, I can't remember, but there was some development there, and that was great, and they still made the tourney, and it was cool, right? This team, the heart and soul is Eric Mika. Right.
Yeah.
I think that Yoeli Childs could become a really good player. He's not a 20-9 guy next year, I don't think. Maybe the next year. I mean, if Zach Studies comes back and plays on this team, I could see where they put the pieces together and make the tourney. But they're staring down the barrel of the NIT if Eric Mika's gone. They couldn't make it to the tourney with him. And I expect some change to happen. Roster, philosophy, who knows with the staff, who knows, right? I don't know. In the offseason. It would blow up the plan. The plan was 3 years of this, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely only two. If Eric Mika comes back, he comes back for one more year, if that. But the more I hear him talk, the more I'm like, oh my goodness, like he's pretty serious about this. And you're right with the Sean Bradley thing. Like, it's not a coincidence that 3.5 years later, BYU goes 1-25 or whatever. Yeah. With the lone win against Utah State. Don't forget that part of it.
Yeah, that's. Do you feel good if you're on that Utah State team? Probably you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jerem, thanks for coming back on the show. It's good to have you. Obviously, like I said, we had nothing to talk about, so 25 minutes later, here we are just talking about nothing, you know?
Well, what, you didn't bring up any movies. Like, we're about to hit, like,
I know. A good movie. Okay, you know, our, you know of our zero to Detmer scale, okay? Excited, how excited you are. Do you know of this? You have zero, of course. We actually had a quarterback name there, but we were told by some of our listeners that it was really rude, so we took that out. So it's zero. Detmer is the highest.
Who was it?
It was my Matt chose it, not me. I'm just going to say that before I say it. He had Riley Nelson. I did not. I thought,
oh, come on.
I'm with you. I thought that was. I thought it was
go,
over.
At least go with. I love Jake, but in terms of like the disappointment with Heaps. The transferred and Jake Heaps, you know,
yeah,
like,
that's who I
like,
had.
Oh, but, we had such high hopes, and you bounced. Yeah.
But we were told it was kind of mean to those individuals, so we decided not to be mean.
Well, it's a sports podcast. There's going to be some mean moments.
We've,
it's okay.
We've had
we're
some
in
mean
seminary
moments.
Here.
Matt did say one time when Nelson was the starter that he should just take his jersey off, leave it in the locker, and walk out of the stadium for the good of the program. So, I mean,
oh, I have strong thoughts about Riley Nelson. Another day,
yeah, another day. We'll do a Riley Nelson retrospective podcast. But let's
ratings
let's,
bonanza.
Yeah, ratings bonanza. Yeah, well, and probably some of his family not as happy with us. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2, where is that on your scale?
It's funny because I'm staring at a Guardians of the Galaxy poster that I have.
Okay. So I'm going to say Detmer a little excited.
I don't have any other movies up. So random. Yeah, that's funny.
So,
Am I excited on a scale of 0 to Detmer?
Yeah, 0 to Detmer. Where are you?
Oh, like a 9.
Like a
10
nine.
Is reserved for like episode 8.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. So that would
I don't
be,
use that in vain, like the word
would,
elite.
We would call that like Steve Young or Jim McMahon excited.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's. Well, McMahon's my guy.
Yeah,
number one
actually,
there, but,
McMahon's my guy, too. But I was overruled by Matt
like
and most of our listeners because they said he's got a Heisman. I said, it doesn't matter. Heisman's
senior year, Steve Young, not junior year. Senior year, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
11-1,
junior
one
year,
loss
Steve,
by 4 points.
Nobody even remembers that junior year even happened.
the junior year, his first game in LaBelle Edwards Stadium, they lose. It was just renovated. He was like, I'm a failure.
Well, and he had one game with six. Was it that game with six interceptions or later in the year? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I'm reading the book right now, actually.
He had some brutal. It's a good book. He had some brutal games that junior year. Steve Young did. So anyway, well, Jerem, anything else? Any besides episode 8? Any other movies you're dying to see this summer?
There's a few, but they're like. Off the top of my head, I'm actually excited to see Fate of the Furious. I think those are so funny. They're like a video game.
Oh, they're
in real life.
They're one of those movies that you like, but you know, like you know, they're not. They're
I like
not,
laughing.
Yeah. They're not Saving Private Ryan, but they're good fun. They're good.
Transformers are bad, but I love them. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I do too.
They're like that one uncle at family reunion. You're like. You're funny, but you're super weird.
Yeah. That's how I feel too. And every time I watch one, I feel kind of bad for watching it because I'm like, I could be watching a good movie, but I really like this.
all the good ones are escaping me. Oh,
Spider-Man. You know, Justice League. I don't. That's after the summer. That's November. But I don't know if you saw the trailer. The trailer for Justice League.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that looks, that maybe, but then I keep saying, well, it's still Zack Snyder, right? We'll see if it's
still, yeah, they can't, for some reason, he's the guy.
He does a good battle. He does a really good battle scene, Jerem. It's the whole story plot development that's a problem.
Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean, 28, The Mummy, which they're redoing. Yeah, Transformers last night.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of sequels nobody asked for.
War for the Planet of the Apes should be good.
Oh, I love the first two of those. So that's definitely
Dunkirk.
That's
Christopher Nolan. Yeah.
There's a bunch.
All right.
We'll have you on sometime later in the summer, and we'll talk about what we have seen. After
Wonder
a few
Woman.
Have come
yes.
Out. All right. Well, Jerem, as always, it's a pleasure. We'll encourage folks, if they don't already, listen to what's that little show you guys do? BYU Sports Nation? Do it every day, right?
Yeah. Last time I checked.
Still
I,
doing
I
it.
Like when someone's like, hey, can you meet in the morning? I'm like, no. When? Like all year? No.
No, I've been doing this show for a few years now. Same time every day.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, it's good. Well, Jeremy Jordan, thanks for joining us, and we'll have you on again soon.
Adam, it's always a pleasure. I'll tell Riley Nelson hello. Hello,
see you.